Winnie the Pig.
Hey, 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 everybody. Happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the NXT Meta 2 After Show with me, host and creator of Intact Trust, Katrina, with my 20 twin, Shay. How are you today?
You know, we rolling, just like Limp Bizkit said, you know?
Nope, definitely understand how that goes. But, you know, it happens. You know, the vibes. I definitely get it. What are your initial thoughts of how NXT was today?
I mean, I liked it. I felt like a lot of stories got ground, which I love. I always love when it's like a really heavy, like, story progression episode, which I feel like it was, and it for a lot of, you know, stories. So yeah, I enjoyed it, honestly. You?
Yeah, no, I definitely think it was a solid episode. I saw you, to be fair, it was basically the same thoughts. You, like, you said it, but I didn't say it, but, like, so the clip you posted of our guy, and I was like, yes, vibes of him just standing. I was like, yes, if whoever don't see the vision, I don't know. I need to get it together. People don't see when we see it. I'm gonna have to ask, what are you looking at? Like, are we not watching the same thing? But yes, I definitely enjoyed the episode. But let's get right into it. And so, this, as we know, we do have the draft coming up quite soon, and I believe it's, you know, we're going to probably get some people from NXT moving on up, possibly some switching down, whatever, but this was definitely, you know, solid work. So, first matchup of the night was Noamdar, you know, with Metaphor, versus Dijak, and so this was, you know, a pretty solid matchup to me. There was a moment with Dijak did toss Noam to the floor, and then he tried to, like, you know, get him, like, slam him into the steel post, but, you know, the rest of the members of Metaphor did get in the way, and so it is kind of, you know, allowed Noamdar to kind of get his stuff together. But yeah, this was actually, you know, pretty solid. I did like that Oromensa kind of also distracted him with a mask very similar to the T-bar attire. I was like, okay. But it was a very odd in regards to, I guess, I didn't expect it to be a match necessarily in that way, but I still thought it was a pretty entertaining one either way. But I can't, I'm not sure, like I said, I'm not sure if they're, you know, if Dijak's post, like, I feel like both in this match, they kind of both gave me tweening vibes for me, personally. With that being said, though, Noamdar was able to hit his Nova Rolla to win this matchup. I was actually surprised, not gonna lie. And so either we're gonna get Dijak on the main roster, which I'm kind of curious to see how they're gonna pull that off if they do, or, you know, we'll see. But I do think it wasn't a bad match, personally, to start it off. I was like, all right, not bad. What were your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, no, I liked it. Like, in theory, obviously, when you see these two people, you think, okay, it's going to be a good match. But I didn't think they would let them go on as long as they did. But I was pleasantly surprised, honestly. Like, Noam was in his bag. He was really not playing. He said, y'all keep acting like it's sweet over here and it's not that. So he was like, I'm gonna have to show y'all some things, and show some things he did. I liked it because obviously I feel like sometimes Metaphor, like, they're a very fun group and they can get lost a lot in the jokey, goofy parts. And, you know, for some people, you know, with short attention spans, whatever, they can forget how lethal and how good he truly is in the ring. Same thing with Oro, same thing with Lash, same thing with Jakara. So it's nice when they give us a little reminder, give them that time to give the reminder, like, hey, we give you some giggles, but we also gonna give you some hands as well, lethal ones. And Dijak, I feel like he's being built up to, I don't know what, but I feel like he's not done. Like, no, he just started gaining ground. Like, I feel like he just got on this level, and he's got so much, like, I feel like this is the most fan backing he's had, like, in his time in WWE, and I feel like uprooting him now when he's like on the precipice of like what he could be in NXT, he's finally found that place, might be a misstep. Because again, it's the whole process of you got to go to the main roster, and now you got to reintroduce yourself to a whole new audience, mostly casual like fans, and it's like it doesn't work out. Let him continue what he's doing. Like, I really would like to see him get either the North American or the NXT title before he leaves NXT. So genuinely don't want him to be drafted right now, like, in the best way possible. It sounds mean to say I don't want you to be drafted, but it's for a good reason, I promise.
No, I get what you're saying. It's definitely, you know, I'm not a fan too much of him. This is me. But I do get in that regard, especially with, I feel like WWE in recent weeks, last month or two, kind of brought back a surge of new wrestling fans who might not have watched in years. There's people I've known who said they haven't watched, who was like kind of paying attention when The Rock came back, and they was like, oh, I know who this person is. And so like, let's see what the rest of this stuff is. And so I definitely agree, if you're trying to like, you might have to establish it just a tad more, I guess, if you want him to succeed, because, you know, the main roster can be hit or miss sometimes, depending, as we know. And so this now leads us to our first ladies match of the night, which was Sol Roca versus Lola Vice. And so I can't say, you know, I don't know. I feel like this wasn't necessarily the best match. Yeah, I don't know. I just felt like, again, I am a huge fan of Sol Roca, not so much over Lola Vice. And I get, like, you know, people like her and whatever, but I'm just not somebody who's a fan. And I'm just, she has not, like, really, I'm like, something impressed me enough to be like, all right, okay, I'm fine with that. But I do feel like for what it was, they tried. And I felt like there were moments where it seemed very choreographed, and I didn't like that part. I feel like as a viewer, even if that's what you're doing, I don't want to be able to tell that's what you're doing. I feel like we know there's always spots and moments and matches, that's wrestling, but I feel like sometimes you can just tell, and that's something that, you know, I'm like, no, if you're going to do it, then this should be something that it's very, very light for me to see. But otherwise it was all right. Not, you know, something I would like necessarily. I don't think this was one of my favorite Sol Roca matches. I thought her last one last week was better. But anyway, Blair did come out and basically trip up Sol Roca, which allowed Lola Vice to do her roundhouse kick to win. And as Lola was celebrating, Natalya did a pop up, backstage basically, or in Titantron basically, to say that she will fight in 2 weeks at NXT Underground. And Carmen Petrovic did promise to help Natty train, which Lola did say that she should stay out of it. And also because of this, Sol Roca asked for a rematch against Blair next week with no DQs. And so I'm like, okay. I was a little bit about Carmen saying she needed help Natty train. I'm like, I'm sorry, girl. Like, do you not know who Natty is? Like, that, I was like, okay, now, girl, stop. Because, like, if Natty wasn't, like, you know, a vet, I'm like, okay. But, like, I'm like, why would you need to train her when she's literally tied into the Hart family? Like, let's not play that game, guys. That, I was a little bit like, okay, I'm sorry. I just a tad. Because I'm like, how are you going to help her train in that regard? Otherwise, though, it, you know, it is what it is. What were your thoughts on the match, and then what happened, I guess, leading up to stuff for next week?
You know, I actually kind of enjoyed the match. Like, I don't think it was like some crazy 5-star match, but it was, I think that they have good chemistry. They have potential to put on a really fun match if given more time. and just different circumstances as well. I love when Lola does her strikes. I think that's like really her bread and butter. That's like her money, obviously. And so she did a few back fists. I was like, like, I like it quick, like on the money. And then Sol, she's always, you know, just unbelievable with things that she does. Like, I'm like, how are you even doing this right now? Like, girl, like, literally stop it. You're killing me. Yeah. And, I mean, Sol, I mean, she lost by, like, you know, interference. So I'm not going to be too, because I really, really thought she was going to win. And, and also, when thinking about throughout this match, I'm like, how are they going to spin this? Because I feel like they are developing multiple stories with the women at the same time. And then when these women go against each other, it's like, well, who can lose in this moment? Because, I mean, you both have to move on in your respective feuds and look, you know, still look strong. And I think that they handled it really great. You know, with Blair Davenport coming in, she can finally get the match she was supposed to get with Nikita, but with Sol. I mean, I feel like the whole NXT parking lot attack thing has really lost its steam, but still, you know, I think they could put on a really, really fun match. So I'm excited to see more from them, you know, keep them in the vicinity of each other, because they do have a good, I like what's going on with Blair Davenport and Sol Ruka is what I will say. In terms of the stuff with Natalya, I'm never a fan of this match style. Like, I don't know. I guess they're supposed to get gritty. You know, we'll see. And let me see. I was going to say, I think because it's like the NXT Underground is more like grit and fighting. And obviously, I think Carmen has a background in fighting. I forgot what specifically it is. I guess karate. Is it karate? Heidi Ho? Is it karate? So, I mean, I think that's what they... I think that's what she meant with the training thing, because I think she would be crazy to say she needed to train Natalya in any type of wrestling ever. That would just be outrageous. Now I'm wondering, so wait, Spring Breaking is going to be, that's live, right? It's not recorded, because the last two episodes have had me like, everyone's like, oh, I already know what happened. I didn't even know it was recorded. What the hell? I thought it was live. I don't look in the corner, okay? I don't look in the corner of the TV where it says live or not. I just assume it's live, okay? I'm thinking it's going to be Julia. I don't know. That's just my thought process. Especially someone ruined it and spoiled it for me earlier. So now I'm just thinking maybe that's the freaking person, because someone ruined it for me. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, if it is Julia. Yeah, I mean, I guess. But can you really, in like 2 weeks, like realistically... Like, and this is not saying some people can't, but to get in prepared for a match that you might have to use that, 2 weeks seems a very limited amount of time, personally. But, you know, whatever, it's wrestling. If it is Julia, I mean, like I said, I like her. I think she's a fantastic wrestler. The one thing I will say, and this is just a general thing, I'm usually funny, like, introducing her to some more American audiences. Some of us do know who she is. A lot of people did not. That was very obvious by people's responses to her being shown at WrestleMania. So, you know, I'm okay with her. Obviously, I was reading that they're supposed to be keeping her moveset very similar. They might tweak a little bit of things, but they're going to let her keep most of her moveset. If so, that's fine. All I will say is, if all of a sudden she's like at the top, I'm going to probably be a little peeved. And my reasoning is only like, while I totally understand skill set and I agree, I don't particularly in general like anybody just all of a sudden you're here a week and next minute you're in the title picture. Like, what did you do? Like, this is all, we start from the bottom. Everybody starts from the same spot. Okay. Now, I don't know why might just do that. If you, you know, kicks people asses and get your way there, that's fine. But if all of a sudden in like a week or two, she's getting a title, I'm going to be like, all right, guys, don't play with me like this. Like, stop. And I like her. But I already know some people are like, when they get the phase, and they're like, oh my God, yes, this is fine. And I'm like, no, it's not. Because if there's some random person you didn't know, would this be okay? Probably not. So same box. But I mean, I guess we'll see. But I'm looking forward to either whatever, you know, I think Sean will do her right enough in this. And so this now leads us to our next match, which was Ridge Holland versus Joaquin Wild. And so... this was definitely a squash match. He this is definitely a squash match. I don't know. I feel like there's something that I don't know what to do with Rich. I think that's my problem I'm having. It's like first he's retiring, then he's not retiring, then he's like being moody, whatever. And it's like, okay, well, what are we doing, guys? And so, you know, he basically like beat him up and then did his Northern grit in the ring to win. And so again, it was a really like quick squash, I guess. NXT Anonymous, you know, the anonymous person that keeps on giving Strummer, was able to catch him choking up Joe Quinn after a conversation with Ava, which I was like, oh, all right, okay. And Sean Spears seemed to have also watched this closely, though it wasn't too much to watch because it wasn't really a long match. And then, you know, Ridge kind of like shoulder checked him after the match. And so I don't know. I'm not sure because, again, I am not a fan of Sean Spears either. And I'm not a fan of Rich. So I'm just like, whatever, guys, if this isn't given. NXT Anonymous, I need to do a little bit better because, like, what you should have did, NXT Anonymous is like, you know what, not here. We take this to somewhere else. Rich, we don't care about what you're doing. But that's just me being difficult. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
I'm like, can they have not found anyone else to do this? To, like, make this guy look, you know, strong, I guess? Like, why is he being rewarded for having anger issues? Like, what is going on? He needs a Snickers. Like, I'm not dealing with this. I'm not dealing with this. Is he going to be, like, some muscle for, like, that's what it seems like. Is he's probably going to end up being some type of muscle for Sean Spears. And I think the whole thing of it is Sean Spears, his character is this person that he can kind of manipulate and talk to people and kind of get in their heads in a way where, I think Ridge is so consumed with his rage that Sean is going to use that to his advantage to kind of like keep him at bay and almost like it's like one of those like things when you see on like a movie where it's like I harnessed your power. I keeping Hulk under like a leash or something. I think that's what's happening with Sean Spears and Ridge. And I do like Sean Spears, so I'm okay with it going like that. I'm not okay with Ridge running amok with no one keeping him in check. So he does need someone to keep him in check. So I am for this. I'm very for this. Again, let's find someone else to take these pins in the future because I'm so upset. I'm so upset.
Yeah, no, and sometimes NXT, when they want to do a squash, just like certain people, you're like, oh, okay, all right, Sean. But yeah, I really don't care what thing about what Ridge is doing. I'm just like, are we still like, why are you still here? I thought you were retiring. So next up, there was a bit of a segment between the family and the No Quarter Catch crew where the family demands payment. And so Tony D'Angelo did said even after like his loss, like loss was when he faced Ilya, that they're going to continue to grow and learn from every fight. And then No Quarter Catch crew kind of asked them why they made their business public last week. And so Charlie basically refused to pay for the business rendered. And then Tony was like, he's going to go for the Heritage Cup. And there was a brawl. And then, you know, it seemed like the family looked a lot better at the end of this. So I'm guessing the services was supposed to explain why Drew Gulak is not there. And so I'm not sure how this is going to play out. But I do think in regards to you're looking at both groups between the family and the Quarter Catch crew, I do think the family is a little bit better in the regard of promos. And so they felt that they were more in it, involved in it properly, I guess. Then at No Quarter Catch crew, I felt like they were like, Charlie was really struggling. And again, if he's supposed to be like the leader, you got to get it together because I am not buying that you are the leader if you're struggling. And so it seems like Tony's now going for the Heritage Cup. But I and I'm just more of a me thing. If you're supposed to be the leader and you went against Ilya, who is NXT champion, you going for the Heritage Cup is kind of weird. I think if anything, maybe Stax should go for it. I feel like that's more, and this is no shade to Heritage Cup, but realistically, I feel like this is one of the middle places to be. And why would you go from having a match with Dragunov to all of a sudden, you know, I felt like that was a little weird personally, I guess, in that capacity, but it wasn't bad. It also didn't really seem like they were worried about the loss that I stand and deliver, but you know, whatever, whatever. thoughts on this segment?
They came out copping please because they were talking crazy for weeks. They swore they had it in the bag. I kept saying, y'all doing a lot for somebody's about to lose. And that's what happened. So, you know, now they got like, oh, please. Get, oh, it wasn't even like that. And we, you know, you're growing times of trial and tribulation. That's what they were basically saying. No. So you better leave Dragunov alone in the future. But yeah, no quarter catch crew. What is going on, girl? They need a new mouthpiece real bad. Maybe a girl this time, switch it up. I think Drew was kind of that mouthpiece that they threw him over the bridge. So we'll see him on Wednesdays very soon, like in a few months, maybe. But honestly, like, I think that they need a mouthpiece because between the three of them, it's not working right now. It's not working. It really isn't. I think, you know, they're obviously all really good wrestlers, but we still need some time with that mic work. So, do you want to say?
Yeah, no, they do need a mouthpiece. It's bad. It's bad. I'm like, shit, do I need to pop up just because? That's not where I'm at, you know, in wrestling. I'm not any manager or nothing, but like, Jesus, like, get it together. But yeah, I guess we shall see. But yes, you're right. They were talking. I was like, nope, you had a lot to say to me, which bridge. there was a segment where Ariana Grace and Gigi, or Georgina, had a meeting in the park where it seemed like Georgina was willing to follow Ariana into whatever business they have will be complete. Again, I am looking forward to see what the ending of this will be in regards to how she's going to change her up. Or is it going to be as successful as how I feel Ariana has made this gimmick? I just feel like she's made for this whole like extraness, this whole like denial, and like it's like semi delulu behavior, but also like just I love how she is in this, and so I don't know if Gigi can hit the level that Ariana has hit with the gimmicks, but we shall see. But thoughts on that segment?
As I knew, they are providing me with multiple meme reaction videos. I got at least 10 between the two of them, just from these two little clips tonight. Just from that. I knew they would feed. I knew they would. I trusted them. And they went through. Ariana is, her comedic timing is just like on another level, literally. And I think Gigi's really good with these, like, because I feel like this is one of those little CW stories they're doing right now. And I think Gigi's actually pretty good with those. Like, when you really look at it, like, she's good with getting with that. So I think that they're both knocking out the park. And I'm excited to see the makeover because I know it's going to be, I'm excited.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be cool. I definitely do think if they really want to get some more, not that they really need to have more like views or anything, but I do think it'll be a cool way to pull it off, as you said, using like videos of like how this went down. And, you know, you are very positive. Gigi is going to influence what? Now, y'all already know how I feel about how Gigi and JC was. They were just the two extras when Randy Rose was in NXT. They were the extras. I stand by this. And it has been proven that, I mean, to be fair, I thought Gigi would have more than JC did at a point, but it seemed like JC, to an extent, even went a little bit higher because of the whole thing with her and Shea Shield. And so, while I still don't like JC either way, I just feel like storyline-wise, Gigi got the really the shortest end of the stick. And so if Gigi is going to be influenced by anybody, it's like, where was this personality 3 months ago, girl? Please. So, I mean, I don't know.
I think it'll be more like an influence in terms of maybe bringing Ariana more down to earth as a person. I think it could be the next Team Hell No or something. Like, I really think that they have potential to be really entertaining duo if they ended up tagging. I think that'd be pretty fun, honestly. We'd get some pretty funny segments, honestly.
See, she technically is one already, unless you mean by how she dresses. I feel like personality-wise, she's supposed to be like a pageant person, but she's technically does things that fall on the bad side already. That's what she's doing. Like, every time she's like doing her little things during matches, that all falls under that verb of like bad. So if anything, it's like, unless she all of a sudden starts dressing gothy or whatever, wearing leather or something, that would be the only thing I would say if you want to call that bad. I don't even think that is, you know, just before anybody thinks that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, realistically, what else can you, like, she's technically heelish already. We just happen to like her because it's, like, funny and it works. But technically, she's supposed to be, like, heelish anyway. So we'll see, I guess. But I am looking forward to see what they do with it. And so this now leads us to the next matchup. But before we get into the next matchup, there was a little segment where Ava did tell Ilya Dragunov that he needed to fight tonight because Trick Williams was in the main event. And this is when Dragunov, being the tournament king that he is, decided to challenge anybody that stepped him. And so this is the thing I was talking about before we started getting into it, about this. If you saw that and thinking that we're crazy, I'm going to need you to look a little harder and try again, because it's wrong. It's wrong. So you need to look at yourself, you need to ask yourself, why are you hating? And then try it again and be like, they were right. That's all you need to do. It's fine. And so he got in the ring, basically challenged anybody to come to him. And, you know, I was like, yes, my turn at king. That's what you do. And so basically a good chunk of the NXT locker room did run out to answer the challenge. However, Javon Evans was able to jump from the announce table to get into the ring first, which led into their matchup. I thought, again, this is just, as I said last week, Javon has so much potential in NXT in regards to, he's super athletic, has a lot of heart, you know, even with the nonsense we saw, I believe, last week with that stupid racist guy on Twitter. You know, he still, even with that, still showed some, you know, kindness, because he's a lot nicer about it than I would have been personally. But this was actually really, really solid, and he took some brutal shots from Dragunov. I feel like, you know, Ilya can definitely be a bit hard hitting, and he definitely did that. And so the half is first, you know, and I say this in, like, you're coming into NXT, and the very second match you have is with Alan Dragunov, Ilya Dragunov, is like, somebody is proving you, somebody likes you, that you got this super awesome match, second match as well. But, you know, Ilya would do his Tokido Moscow and he would win this match. But he did show him some respect afterwards, I guess, for his determination and grit throughout it, because he definitely had some, but just wasn't enough, you know, for our NXT champion, as he shouldn't be. You know, I would be like, why do you think at some point this will be something that I'm like, okay, I can see it happening. Ilya, they would need to be dead, as you should. But thoughts on this matchup?
Very fun and hard hitting, honestly. Like, Dragunov was not pulling any punches. I think they both really, really delivered. Like, they both just like had their moments to be like, this is why I'm here, this is why I'm in the building, why I'm in this match. They definitely showed that, and they are, I love the way they've been positioning. Like, I think I've always liked how NXT goes about positioning certain new stars and, like, giving them that time, but I think recently it's just been really, 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 like, on point for me. So they've been really doing a good job with, like, positioning their new stars in places where they can really develop their characters and, you know, their in-ring and get that fan support. So I'm really digging that. Why all those other wrestlers Why was y'all lying like that? Why y'all was so performative? All that fighting to get in. What was the title on the line? The title wasn't over the line. So I'm supposed to believe y'all itching to fight Dragunov? Please, please, please. And that's why you all was fake. Oh, I can't get in. I can't get in. Girl, just slide in. You didn't want to go in there. You didn't want to go in there for real. And I got your tea. And that's fine. I understand because I wouldn't want to go in there for real either. But y'all wanted to make it seem like he was trying to get up in there. Girl, you're a liar because you didn't want to get beat up. And that's the truth.
Yeah, no, they definitely was pretending. It's like the person was like, oh, yeah, I got this. But then they're not volunteering, really. Those are the vibes. Those are the vibes they were on. And so there was another matchup, but coming up when it was some more women's action. But before that, it was a pre-taped promo from Tatum Paxley, basically telling everybody that her one true love was always the NXT Women's Championship. As we kind of speculated a little bit last week, that might have been the issue in the first place, was that she didn't really care so much about Lyra, but more so about the title. I guess that's what she basically said. And that she was done letting anyone else touch it, which I was like, girl, stop. And so backstage before this matchup, Andre Chase did tell Athea why he bet everything on her NXT Women's Championship match, which should have finally resolved whatever issue. So if she brings this up next week, she's, listen, like, girl, if you don't, you need to go talk, you need to, I don't know, meditate or go to therapy, or why this is still bothering you after he explained. Because, like, all right, he told you now, let it go. And so this would lead up to a matchup between Thea, who was accompanied by Chase Hu, to go up against Tatum Paxley. And so at first it did seem like Thea had a bit of an issue with the way Tatum was wrestling at first. But then she started getting her groove. Unfortunately, though, JC Jane and Jasmine Nix did come out to get involved in her doing this, or rather them doing this to her, allowed Tatum to roll up Thea for a three count. Afterwards, you know, the officials did try to stop the confrontation between JC and Thea, but another fight broke out when Lyra would come out and jump Tatum ringside, which I was like, all right, a lot of stuff going on. At one point during this matchup, you know, Thea was trying to get out of a submission hold, so she headbutted her, but I was like, I mean, okay. But Roxanne did say that she wanted to fight the winner between Lyra and Tatum, which led Ava to break in a triple threat for NXT, the NXT Women's Champion at NXT Spring Break-In. And so all I'm saying is if they do this and then Roxanne loses, I'm going to be pissed. They better not. Don't do all this again. Have Roxanne go through all this extra to put her triple threat and all of a sudden she loses again. Because then Sean's going to have to hear from me directly. Because clearly we're not on the same page. Clearly you're not here. I need to ask you why. What was you writing? What was happening in your life that this is what you did to me? So just as long as you get it together and the right person comes out winning, that I'm fine. But thoughts on this matchup?
So starting from the promo that Tatum did, she's 100% one of my favorite like characters in NXT. Like, she has really sunk her teeth into this character, which I love. Like, I love when people get something and they really sink their teeth into it and like really go hard to bring that character to life. And like, truly, she is on, like, I love it. Like, girl, you get your tens. And shout out to the person on Twitter who literally said it. And I was like, you know what? You're onto something. I didn't think they would actually do it, but the girl is obsessed with the NXT title more than anything. Like, that's interesting. And even like the way she described it with Roxanne, she said now Roxanne's the most popular girl in school. Like, her mind is so warped in how she is seeing things. Like, she's just really so into it, and I love it. I really am so into it. Thea, girl, it took you long enough. And then jumping into the match, honestly, I'm not even mad that JC did that. JC needs to be on her head for as long as how many months it was that Andre had to sit walking around here with the freaking S or scarlet letter on his damn chest and being treated like some low-class citizen. Thea was the one person, main person heading that train to really slander Andre. So for as long as he had to deal with that, you need to be tormented by JC for half of that. For half of it. Because you know what? This is all very avoidable if you were mature and just had a conversation with the man. That's all. That's really all. And then Lyra girl, yes, you better eat. She was near her. I was like, oh my God, Lyra is. But I like the energy. Keep it up.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely curious to see how this is gonna play out. All the pieces kind of where it is. And so this now leads us to our next match with Malik Blade and Idris Anafe versus Authors of Pain, which I don't care about Authors of Pain at all. But this was, you know, definitely like basically a squash. Brinley did show a highlight video of Malik and Idris's preparation. But, you know, they tried really hard by staying in this, you know, trying to keep up in the match, but they were definitely outmatched, honestly. And they ended this quick match with their Super Collider and won. And so I was like, I mean, okay, I guess. And I guess if you're trying to make them look lethal, I guess this is the way, but I'm always feeling like, why does Malik and Idris always got to deal with this to make somebody else look better? It's crazy to me. I feel like they're always getting the shitty end of the stick on these regards. And so I guess we'll see how it goes with them, but I don't care about all this payment at all. And y'all already know my thoughts on Mr. Karrion Kross. He's just there, boring me. And while I know people like his wife, and I'm saying this again, she's just there also, being in that space that is boring me. But yeah, after that, Nathan Frazier and Axiom will come out to confront them. And I'm like, okay, well, as long as y'all don't lose the titles anytime soon, because I'm gonna be upset. Like, don't be doing this. Like, don't do it, guys. Don't do it. Once again, Sean, don't play. You better be on the same page as I am. You better have the same brain I'm having right now. Don't do it. But what were your thoughts on this matchup?
I really like I even wanted a tweet. I was so upset, but I just said, you know, I'm not even going because I'm tired of being a dead horse, because I really am so tired of seeing Malik and Idris take pins. They have put them, like, I got really excited when they put them with Brinley, because I felt, oh, okay, this is like they're breathing new life into this tag team, giving them a new, like, you know, like a different chapter for them now, you know, adding someone in. And now they added her, and now she loses too. I'm like, my goodness, what you rub off on her? My gosh. Like, I don't want to see them losing anymore. I'm so tired of it. Like, I just think that they're one of the more exciting tag teams. They have so much personality. They're so easy to root for, but yet they're always the go-to to be squashed. And that really irritates me. And then now you have, I really think that, like, I don't know, like, if Axiom and Nathan retain, I will be really happy, but I will be shocked, because it's seeming like the, you know, it's about to be like a steamroll at this point. And I really hate that. I really, really do.
Yeah, I feel like that's true. That's why I said it better not be. I don't like this. Don't bring them back down here from SmackDown. Like, they're supposed to need something to beat up Nathan and Axiom, who's been given, and I say Axiom in particular has been given the last year. Don't play with me. Don't do it. Don't do it, Sean. Don't do it. This now leads us to our next, which is Josh Briggs versus Ivar. And so Josh did try pretty early to show his power, and I was like, okay, all right, he's trying, even though he's supposed to be, like, bruised up his ribs, and so it kind of slowed him down a bit. You know, it reconfirmed he supposedly bruised his ribs last week, and it was, you know, if it was, I guess, what happened, they were saying implying at Stand Deliver that he might have been hurt, I guess it made kind of sense to make sure he can be hopefully better. But then if it's just storyline purposes, then I think he did a good job of, like, you know, selling it. I don't really know, and I say just not that it was a bad match, just like what, because we already know that Ivar is Ulba's next challenger, and so I'm not really sure why we needed to have this match to show it again, like we know that already. And so I guess it would be fun when we get to spring break in, but he will do his big moonsault. Ivar would do that to win this matchup. Again, for whatever reason, Josh wanted to have this match with him after he was told to rest up, even though the trainer medically cleared him. Ivar did tell him to rest up. He wanted it anyway. And then, you know, Ulba was watching this in the locker room, and then he kind of basically beat up Roberta, I guess, off principle. I mean, I don't know. He was just doing that again for no reason. But otherwise, it was good for what we got. I don't know if we necessarily needed it, but, you know, as they say, we get the big meaty men on spring break-in. We got some of that already on Stand Deliver, so I'm looking forward to it. What were your thoughts on this matchup?
I thought it was a nice back and forth. Josh really confused me because I was giving him his flowers. I was giving him his tens. And then he sat here and talking about some, yeah, I'm going to fight Oba again. Who gave you the right? Where's the audacity? The Yeehaw people have audacity, if anything else. They always keep that thing on them, and that thing is audacity. You just lost. What makes you feel like you could just walk back to the front? Who gave you this mentality to think that you could do this? And why is it failing? I don't know. But also, yeah, I really did enjoy the match. That moonsault was crazy. Like, he's really cute. It's a really cute moonsault. I can't tell you. I guess they just want to keep him on TV until, because I mean, I guess he's not always on NXT. So I guess it just makes sense. They want to just have him on and, you know, just give him that time, I guess. And even Oba's response to it, like, man, that guy, he has good, like, energy about him. Like, he just comes off so, like, cocky and confident. Like, he's really winning me over every week, honestly.
No, I definitely agree there with regards to.
Well, that's embarrassing and sad that he wasted his money to make a shirt with false things on it. So you can tell him that, you can relay that message to him about the patheticness of it. And I mean it.
Okay. all right. I don't know what we're supposed to do with that information, but okay. And so leading up to our main event, which was the steel cage with Carmelo versus Trick Williams. And so before this matchup, we did see, you know, the vignette of Trick's WrestleMania weekend as the stage cage was being constructed. He also, Carmelo would come and cut a promo before heading into the ring, and he said he would take everything away from Trick. And so this was pretty solid. Carmelo definitely used the steel cage to his advantage. He got his security involved in everything. I guess this match was to make sure we got what was, you know, reinforce what happened at Stand and Deliver. And I do think that it showed Trick to the point where he almost was like running over Carmelo. And I mean, I like Trick, but I am still kind of like, I don't know how I feel about all of a sudden it's like Carmelo can't be him. It's like, yeah, I get like that Trick is obviously on a different level from when we first saw him. And obviously he's more than, you know, Carmelo's hype man. I remember maybe a year and a half ago, I think, or maybe two years or something when I was first talking about Trick and we were saying just that, you know, he was, when he had his first match and you saw he was getting better, he's like kind of getting the hang of it. And now it's like, and I'm like, all right, I'm fine with that, but don't be, let's calm that down. And so it did make him look almost unstoppable to an extent. I do think, like, not that the action was really crazy, it was pretty basic stuff, but a lot of strikes, and I thought that was fine. But I do think, if anything, this was trying to show a trick that no matter what Carmella was doing, he was going to, I guess, surpass this. And so even with everything, even with Carmelo getting his security involved, Trick will do his two Trick Knees, and then basically for a clean victory, and he won this match. And so after that, Dragunov would appear on the stage basically to stare him down, and Trick was looking at him from the top of the cage. So I'm like, all right, well, we're getting this matchup again, or getting it what we were supposed to get, I guess, in the first time. And I feel like now with this being said, and like why I get people like, Trick, y'all not doing this to me, because I am not ready for my Eternal King to lose. And while I understand Jeff is coming and I get that and everything, and that's fine and well, I'm not ready. This is me being very selfish. I am not ready for these shenanigans. And so if they're trying to make Trick win, I can't tell you how I'm going to feel. It's going to be very sad. Okay, I'm going to have to give you guys video monologues of why this would make me sad. We don't want that. So hopefully that's not what's happening, but I feel like that's what they're going to do. And if so, they probably will move Carmelo up. And I feel like after him losing, because it was just such a weird way of how this, all of a sudden he's just losing to this point where it's like he's not good. And I don't know how I feel about it necessarily, but I do think for him to kind of go back up, you have to do something and kind of rebuild him from the main roster. And I do think he'll be fine on the main roster. I don't think he won't be. I'll be very surprised if all of a sudden Carmelo's not doing fine. I think he'll be fine. But I'm like, I guess you having him lose in this manner, I guess. But if Ilya leaves, and while it's like, if he gotta go somewhere, let's not be Raw, because you know, a lot of times I can't watch Raw in its full entirety because I get tired. And then I'm like, oh, at least SmackDown is like an hour cut off, and so it's a little better. And so if you're gonna put him there, just put him on a show I can watch. Otherwise I'm gonna be sad. But yes, what are your thoughts on this matchup?
I mean, I thought it was a good back and forth match. I'm a little bit feeling the same way with the whole, like, it's like now it's becoming overkill with, you know, how Carmelo is having to put Trick over. Now it's like, okay, I get it. You know, he's definitely got a rise coming, but let's not forget, you know, let's not make the person who has really been carrying NXT, one of the people carrying NXT for a good little minute, look crazy. Let's not make him look too crazy, because that's why I'm going to be like, it's not going to work for me, buddy. But yeah, no, it was a good back and forth. Obviously, I think we all knew who was going to win. Like, I never thought anything different. I felt like, oh, they just want to double down. I'm like, why do I need to double down? Like, it happened. He already beat him. Like, come on now. But yeah, no, it was what it was. Trick. And then also, like, the whole thing of, like, them saying, oh, it's unfair, you know, that you have an advantage. I'm like, he's going to have an advantage regardless, because he's Ilya Dragunov, and that's just it. Whether he had a match or not. Whether Trick had a match or not. So, I mean, I don't know. It was just, like, I can't listen to this anymore. I was like, enough! Like, I feel like one of those, like, guys, like, you know, they hold, like, the chalices in, like, one of those, like, medieval places, and they, like, throw everything off the table and go, enough! Like, that's how I felt, like, honestly.
To be fair, I did picture you just saying that, like, the level of, you know how every time the glass fell on that background, that time, it was extra loud because everything was, like, concrete and metal. So it was extra loud, and so the silence felt extra. Felt that. But yes, I can see him going. People want him and Gunther so bad. And what I understand, I do, it's like, but also no, because y'all took Ilya away from me multiple times at NXT. I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. You know, when you took away UK, I was like, whoa, 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 what is these shenanigans? And then we had to wait. and then he was gone again because he got injured. I was like, you know, I just, it was too much for my heart to take. And so now I just, I'm like, listen, guys, like, 2024 has been a year already. They're going to stop doing these shenanigans to me. And so hopefully not. But I guess we shall see at spring break in what's going to happen. I feel like they're going to do this and hurt my little soul. And then just know there, I might have to go on, like, I might have to just give a monologue of me in tears, maybe, possibly. Would I be happy? I mean, like, I think he's amazing, actually. And if they can, if the main roster fans can keep themselves together and act disrespectfully, then I will be happy with him getting drafted. We all, like, NXT, the audience can be really annoying as well. We know this. But the main roster audience is even worse. They're even more annoying. Okay? And so, like, they're even more annoying. They did exactly what they were. I mean, not everybody, but I have been seeing it already. Like, Cody people complaining. I'm like, dang, y'all say y'all wanted him? So embrace it. Y'all wanted him. Y'all wanted him to beat my guy. Tribal Chief had to go on a break. And that's not right, but that's what we got. And I ain't complaining. That's what y'all asked for. I didn't ask for this. Y'all did. So you take it and you accept it. So the fact that they're complaining already, I'm just like, see, this is what I'm talking about. Y'all don't know what y'all want. So I don't think the fans are going to do well by my guy. That's the problem I'm having. I think he'll be fine where he goes. I just don't know how the storyline is going to be necessarily, because he is a guy who likes to fight. And, like, you got people up there who might be more inclined to want to fight. Especially you got somebody like Sheamus who just came back, for instance. Whose problem, like, okay, well, so do I. You know, didn't get the Brolin Brutes for nothing. But otherwise, we'll see. I'm trying not to be stressed about it, because, you know, I'm going to be sad. But that is the end. You know, yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, there's not many people, like, I care if they go to NXT, because it's fine. It's just, this is me being very difficult about if we're dragging up in NXT. This is me just being difficult. That's all it is. But that is the end of our NXT review for this week. Thank you guys, as always, for joining me and Shay. Please don't forget to support us via Slam Chats. We appreciate you guys if you can. And Shay, tell everybody what you got going on, where they can find and follow you.
Yes, so you can find a new episode of the Big Pop Theory podcast that just dropped on Monday. That's on all platforms for the most part. So any platform you think about, it's probably on there. Big Pop Theory podcast. You can catch me on Twitch at Shay Sawyer. I'm waiting for the designs, but we are rebranding. I'm waiting for the designs, you know? Greatness takes time, so I'm not rushing anybody. And you can find me at Shay Sawyer _ on Twitter, where I'm talking absolute nonsense. And on Instagram, Shay Sawyer Was Here, where I use my story as a Pinterest. So, yeah.
After me, you can find me on all social media platforms in Cat We Trust, every place but YouTube and Facebook. The E is a 3. Definitely just keep track of my YouTube channel. That's actually probably, if you see any new interviews, any new shows, and it will be there. I am gaming a lot more, guys. I'm very proud of myself because I've been doing well. You know, if anybody knows me, no, I don't like to run in video games. Running makes me very stressed. As somebody who likes horror video games, you would think I wouldn't be, but I get very stressed with running. I'm getting so better. I'm like, oh, look at me, running and thriving. So I'm going to try to start gaming more on my Twitch, because I do have fun as well. It's been a couple months, guys. It has been. But that's basically it. Just follow me up there. You'll see me, and I'm usually talking shit. You know, I'm still upset about Liv Morgan. I don't care about your fans who like her. I don't care. I said what I said. She better count her days. She took Rhea from me, guys. I don't understand. Like, the devastation I've been feeling for the last 24 hours, it's been real. Okay, so Liv better count her days. So if you want to see me talk that kind of stuff, as I always do, definitely via my Twitter, because I don't care. I don't care what her fans, got to say. I will find y'all. Don't play with me. Those are the vibes. I am sad. But that's what you guys can find me. That's something really, I went a whole crazy little rant. But yes, that's where you guys can find me. As always, we are truly grateful and appreciative of you guys hanging out with us every time we have a show. And we will catch you guys next week. Bye, guys.